I'm going to call this meeting of the Children and Families Finance and Policy Committee to order. The first item on the agenda, members, is reviewing the minutes from yesterday, April 14th. Representative Coulter, do you have a motion of yesterday's minutes?
I will move approval of the minutes and hope that if there are changes, somebody else caught them.
All right. Members, any discussion or questions to Representative Coulter's motion for approval of the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. All right. So we are going to start off with testimony that we ran out of time for yesterday on Representative Coulter's 4382. So we have four Zoom testifiers. And first on the list, we have Caitlin Erpstad with Hartley Nature Preschool. If you could unmute yourself, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony. You have 2 minutes. We did test the mic before with someone.
Caitlin is not here. She emailed that she couldn't come on until 3:30.
Okay. Well, thank you for flagging that. Was that Shannon that just popped in?
Caitlin. Yes.
No. Okay. Shannon, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony, and we'll continue on.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Shannon Richardson. I'm a provider of 17 years and currently the CEO of 5 centers in Duluth. I'm here to provide my support for the amendment to HF 4382 to establish a Minnesota Board for Early Care and Education. As a provider, the safety and well-being of the children that are served in my programs is incredibly important. I want that to continue, but I want our future system to better reflect realities of our day-to-day operations. The current system leaves room for interpretation based on area, licensor, and feeling. It lacks consistency, is punitive, and has been broken for as long as I've been navigating it. The proposed licensing draft does not modernize our work or rules. It doesn't reflect our staffing realities. We can only increase quality if we have funding to increase wages. It doesn't reflect day-to-day classroom inevitabilities that require flexibility and realistic expectations. It's missing the ability to allow for alignment with the other currently used systems. It also continues to work against providers with high expectations, yet low funding and support. It monitors us for enforcement rather than allowing for coaching, prevention, and opportunities for growth. Providers truly need to have a voice at the table. Licensing needs to exist. There needs to be means to hold providers accountable, and the system needs to reflect what is reasonable in the realm of working with children. Baby wipes and chapstick are sensible items in childcare setting, not hazardous materials like our licensing lookup classifies them. I want a system that works for all of Minnesota, children, their families, and the providers that have to navigate it. Having a state board like other professions do would be such an improvement to our current system. We spend a tedious amount of time on paperwork and other administrative burdens that don't improve care. And we can't do the things that would. Coaching teachers, sharing the wealth of tools we've accumulated, being present in the classrooms, observing children and teachers, building strong relationships with children and families, and more. We should be able to spend more time on people and less time on paperwork. These are the things that would directly and tangibly improve the quality of programs in our state. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your testimony with us today. Is Amy Warzebuck in the Zoom yet? Okay. Then we will go, and I misspoke earlier. I think we have Lisa Thompson, the Office of the Ombuds for Family Child Care Providers, with us in the room today. So if you, Ms. Thompson, would head up to the testifiers table, and we will listen to your testimony and see if anybody else joins us on Zoom. Please introduce yourself for the record when you're ready and proceed.
All right, thank you. Hello, my name is Lisa Thompson, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I am the state's ombuds for family child care providers. And the testimony that I bring to you today is based on the input that I've received from family child care license holders across the state. I've gathered stories and comments through multiple in-person meetings and with provider groups and direct outreach from individuals who are concerned about their ability to continue their businesses. And I have a complete copy of examples of what's going to get this across the finish line this year and allow room for all of those other changes that are important to people to still have room at a later date before it's implemented. Now, the proposed changes are significantly impactful for existing programs and could further affect the declining number of childcare options for families. Some changes are welcomed improvements to the rules that are relics from the 1980s and helpful clarifications that are problematic rules intermittently into statute over the past 40 years. But far too many of the changes run contrary or present unnecessary barriers to the unique nature of family childcare. This work to modernize state licensing rules is really important, but the systemic problem of our childcare regulatory system will not be solved until the legislature also makes significant, meaningful changes to how those regulations are imposed. The system is problematic as it sits today, and adding more regulations, I'm afraid, will only make this worse. Family child care providers are emphatically and respectfully asking the legislators to make the needed modernization updates needed while also avoiding any new additional requirements for this already highly regulated license. As you've heard from the details of other stories yesterday and from other testifiers, I encourage you to visit local programs in your districts and hear directly from the people doing the work. See firsthand for yourself the joyful learning that's happening in your communities. More regulations and administrative requirements will not make anyone more joyful. Here are some examples. Actually, I'm going to skip through and because of time. There's a couple of things that I really want to point out that are the reason people are wanting this to go through yet this year, because there's some important changes that will affect not only the declining number of family child care providers, but also how they do their business. And one of those is to ratios. The changes in the proposal in this bill are very helpful and are long overdue. And another one is nature-based accommodations and an amendment that would be proposed. And for community-based programs, under one roof, there's some innovation happening to kind of bring back family child care when it doesn't work in the traditional model in the home of the provider. And that is also an amendment that will be before you today. So the voice and input of providers and parents who choose family child care are vital to be included in these new rules proposed. Regulation should not simply make the regulator's job easier, but instead, providers respectfully ask to continue working on the rules that help keep families working, children learning, and small businesses thriving. Thank you for considering Minnesota's childcare voices.
Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing the thoughts from family childcare providers. Appreciate you. All right. Amy Warzebuck, if you are on the Zoom now, if you're able to unmute yourself and introduce yourself for the record, you've got 2 minutes for your testimony. Thanks for joining us. Amy, are you able to hear me? You could try to unmute yourself, maybe remute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can. Excellent.
Thank you.
Go ahead and introduce
hi.
Yourself.
This is
Thanks.
Amy Warzebuck. Yes, hi. I'm Amy Warzebuck. Sorry, it seems like the Zoom didn't work for me. Our internet just went down, so I apologize. I've never done Zoom on the phone before, but I'll just go ahead. I'm the preschool director here at Dodge Nature Center and Preschool, a licensed child care center in West St. Paul since 2000. I'm also a member of the Minnesota Early Childhood Outdoors, representing nature-based preschools throughout the state. I'm here today because I care deeply about children's access to learning outdoors and the impact the proposed regulations could have on this. nature-based providers are concerned that some of the language in the bill would actively discourage childcare programs of all types from providing children with experiences in nature and with natural elements. We do understand this bill may pass. If it does, we feel strongly that the Sixth Amendment and our nature-based childcare program written testimony should be adopted. They're narrowly targeted, cost-neutral, and consistent with the modernization project's own goals. One amendment we propose is improving clarity of language around animal vaccination requirements. Research and historical care practices promote connecting children to animals to support development of empathy, caring skills, and so many more things. In center-based care, there's a call for animal vaccinations in the regulations, which is reasonable for certain animals like dogs and cats, with vaccine schedules and guidance readily available at local veterinary clinics. However, it is unclear what to do for many other typical house pets and animals that don't have vaccination recommendations. Our programs promoted connection with animals for 25 plus years, including turtles, hermit crabs, chickens, and more, and they've greatly benefited the development of children as well as inspired rich curriculum. Regulations should be specific about which animals require vaccines, or if it varies by geographic location, what guidance programs should look to make vaccination decisions. I appreciate your consideration of this amendment and the others mentioned in our testimony, and really hope that we can do some things that will ensure all children will have access to nature and natural materials in their childcare settings into the future should the proposed bill move forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your testimony with us today, Ms. Worsbach. We appreciate it. All right, members and those of you following along, we are now going to lay over House File 4382. It was before us as an informational hearing yesterday, and we will continue with the child care modernization licensing as we take up amendments to House File 2929. So I will move that House File 2929 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And the plan is to take up the DE, vote on amendments to the DE, and so we will move the DE to as amended after that, and then vote on the final bill. Representative Sensimura.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm just confused. I am not seeing the DE2. Do other people have it?
The DE2 may have been in your packet from yesterday. It might not be. I apologize. In order to save paper, we did not reprint the ones from yesterday, so it would be referred to as H4382DE4 in our packets.
Madam Chair, it's the DE2, it's the DE2TO, the bill that I presented yesterday. That's, I think, what folks should be looking for in their packets.
Okay.
It's numbered DE4. But it's,
the DE4?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, that's correct. Home, Chair. So in the upper right-hand corner, it's a thick packet, and then the number up in the upper right is H4382DE4. Representative Coulter. Would you like to go ahead and move?
I will move the DE2. Okay. That is number DE4.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Representative Coulter is moving the DE2 to House File 2929. Could you go ahead and tell us about this amendment, Representative Coulter?
It is the regulation modernization bill that we talked about yesterday.
Right. Representative Coulter or House Nonpartisan staff, is there anything that anyone would like to add about this amendment? Oh, okay. Very good. So the DE2 to House File 2929 is now before us. We do have a long list of amendments to the DE2. We will go through those amendments and we will vote on those individually. Then we will move to vote the DE2 as amended before we take the final vote on the underlying bill. We have put the order that we plan to take up the amendments to the amendment on the agenda. And for those of you following along, there is a memo put together by House Research on House File 2929 amendments to help guide us as well. Thank you so much to Laura, Danielle, Sarah, and Doug for all of your work in creating the materials that we have before us today, and for all your work this session. Okay. So first, members, we have an amendment to the DE2 amendment. It is labeled the A4. Representative Hicks, would you care to move and share the A4 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee. The A4 amendment is an amendment that is largely technical and includes many of the bills that we've heard here today, including some of the technical language from DCYF, Representative Nadeau's bill regarding optional drug testing for individuals, or removes optional drug testing for individuals on SNAP. Representative Olson's bill is in here as well. Representative Bakeberg's bill is in here. We have a bill from Representative Clardy that we heard around eligibility and enrollment priorities for foster care youth. The chair's bill is in here regarding youth intervention programs. My bill related to extended foster care is in this amendment. We also have some language around the divorces and separations from the judicial bill that we heard, Representative Pinto's bill requiring the out-of-home placement plan to include efforts to ensure educational stability when our littles are in preschool and go into foster care, and then Representative Hansen's bill for the Foster Youth Bill of Rights is also in this amendment. It is a very big amendment.
Thank you, Representative Hicks. So, just to clarify, these bills were all heard in committee and have either been moved out of committee or laid over. And the idea is to include them in the minibus for our Minnesotans, just to make sure that we are taking advantage of all the paths that we have to final passage. Is there any discussion on the A4 amendment? Chair West.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Hicks. The provisions in here, as was previously mentioned, have largely been voted out of committee already. Those are moving along in the other committees, and I hope they continue to move along. So this isn't about those particular provisions. But it's important that we stay focused on the purpose of the underlying bill, well, soon to be the underlying bill, and that's to get modernization passed. If we go into conference and we have all these other bills, I don't want the conversation to be derailed and moved on to other subjects when we need to pass modernization now. Many of these bills are already moving, and they likely could move off the floor some of them are there. We need to stay focused on modernization, getting modernization passed. So I would ask that members don't vote for this particular amendment so that we can keep it to modernization, which, again, I know the idea of not passing an omnibus bill is crazy to legislators, but to everyone else, it's actually how they think the legislature works. And in fact, it is how it should work. We should stay focused on things within an issue area so that it can be understood and people can know what we are voting on rather than packing it full of things. In a budget year, when we have the entire state to fund, makes a lot of sense. Omnibus bills are the only possible way to get a full budget done. But the budget is done. Government is funded and functioning, and I would want our work here today to be focused on modernization, which is something that needs to pass desperately this year. And I'm sure everyone here has heard from their child care providers about how important it is. So, members, I would ask for a no vote on the A4 so we can keep this bill to modernization.
Representative Hicks.
Thank you so much for that, Chair West. I do just have like a technical question, since some of the things that are in this amendment were laid over in this committee and we didn't vote them out. I don't think because they're necessarily controversial, just because we laid them over. So if that's the stance we're at, given our committee time that's left, what's the plan? Chair West?
I don't know what the plan is for those bills. None of them are mine, or so those could have been passed out at any time, and they still could come up later. But I want to focus on modernization today and get that out the door.
Representative Hicks, any follow-up?
I guess I don't know when, because this is third deadline week. So I guess what I'm hearing you say is that since this is deadline week and these things were laid over, and today you want to focus on modernization, then those things are just done. If that's what you're saying, that's I'm sorry. I'm just confused. I'm not trying to be difficult, I swear. I'm genuinely just like I'm confused. Yeah, because we were previously told this was a vehicle bill. So I'm genuinely confused about what happens to the things that are on the table. Could someone help me?
Right. Well, when we did bring this bill, House File 2929, up originally, yep, the purpose was to be a vehicle bill. Senator Wicklund in the Senate has the matching bill. Both Chair West and I are signed on as authors to House File 2929. It is typical practice that Finance and Policy Committees do a markup and send out a bill containing the priorities from this session's work. And it is also very common practice to include bills that have been passed on as standalone bills in the case that they might not be moving in the other body as an individual bill. So it allows us the opportunity for multiple paths to final passage, as I mentioned. Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, you actually just made the point that I was going to make, that it is definitely common practice in this place to include bills in a larger package of bills that may have been passed out of the committee. I do share Representative Hicks's concern that if some of the language from these bills is not moved out today, then it may not move out at all. As the House author of modernization, I don't think there's anyone in this room more invested in getting it done than I am. But I don't think that should preclude doing other work and using, as much as I hate this cliche, using a belt and suspenders approach to get things across the finish line. And I want to be clear, I do hate that cliche.
All right. Thank you for that. Members, it's been my experience in negotiations that what we bring to the table gets discussed and gets considered. And if we are bringing a bill that only has modernization, these other priorities that fall under the jurisdiction of our committee will be left by the wayside. This committee has done the hard work. We've got Republican authors of these bills. We've got DFL authors of these bills. If there are specific provisions that have been included in the A4 amendment that we have difficulty with, they were chosen because they were non-controversial and or bipartisan. But you know, we could certainly discuss removing some of them if there are concerns specifically. But you know, we are not just a child care committee. And while we do have the opportunity to pass modernization that has been worked on over a number of years with a variety of stakeholders, I think that not including any child welfare or child protection provisions, particularly given the conversations that we've had about child abuse in this committee this year, would be a grave error. And I would recommend a yes vote. Representative Hicks.
I do want to just add that it is my understanding when this was drafted that this is a low to no cost amendment, so it won't, you know, it's not a, these are all like policy bills, if that is helpful for anyone. I just wanted to share that because I missed that in my original statement, so thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask you to vote for this. I think a lot of the bills here were supported by this committee. I really don't see the purpose of convening a committee bringing us together, bringing all these folks from the public, bringing all these people here to testify, all these things, just to get to the end and be like, no. That feels incredibly irresponsible. It is our job as a committee and as a legislature to work. And I'm concerned with the trend that is coming up, and maybe I'll talk about it more this session. But we're here to work. There's Republican bills in here that we all support, Democrat bills that we all support. This is the kind of work that Minnesotans ask us to get done. That's what they're expecting of us, things that we can agree on. We have shared priorities identified by these things. I hope that if there's concerns with maybe like a particular bill in here, we could have an honest discussion about that. I'm very uncomfortable deferring to the Senate to do a lot of the work and to bring in their stuff to it and us to come to the table with one thing, given I think we've all made comments in this committee about what's important to us this year and what we care about and what we've made commitments to, whether it's constituents or people who have come to us and asked us to make changes, letters we've received. Like, the public's made an investment here. And that's our quite literally our job is to move something through. So I'm color me confused about why we would not want to kind of go into the last weeks of session, putting in our vehicle bill the bills that we all agreed on. I'm having trouble making sense of that, and I hope there's more conversation from the rest of the committee. We can keep talking about what maybe if there are concerns about specific provisions, what that looks like. I would ask Co-Chair West to maybe expand upon why we are not hearing from our co-chair to move in some of his caucus's bills and bills that, you know, I mean, like the Foster Bill of Rights, for example. We all worked on that together. We had a really great conversation about that. You worked with Fosters to get to a place and to get the language to a place you were comfortable with. And I just am really uncomfortable, like, saying we did all this work and now it's for all for naught. So Co-Chair West, I would like to hear a little bit more about if there's specific provisions in here that you don't like or you're opposed to, if there's an issue with that, and maybe a little bit more than just, you know, you want to move with one bill. If you want to move with one bill and move House File 43, whatever it was, the last one we had, but this, you gave the committee your word that this was a vehicle bill. You're signed on to it as a co-chair, as a co-author. And you did not correct the record when Chair Katiza Watun said that. So I want to be clear about what we're doing here. I'm very confused. Thank you. Chair West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The goal, look, I am signed on to that bill. That is not, if I were chairing the committee today, like I was yesterday, we brought up Representative Coulter's bill. This idea of an omnibus wasn't brought up in committee until Friday of last week. And then we met over break to talk about modernization. So we were all geared up for modernization. Now, maybe there were cross wires there, but then we met over break, didn't really have a, you know, it was break. So we weren't quite in our gear state of mind, but it was all about modernization. Then we re-met the next week, and that's when all these, like, oh, this is a vehicle bill, all of a sudden was brought up. Then it's like, oh, maybe that works. Was my first thought. However, the last thing we need is to have anything distract from modernization. And I don't want to go in and make it an omnibus conversation when we talk to the Senate about this. They need to understand it is modernization that we are doing. It is our, this has been years and years and years in the making. And we passed plenty of these bills through so they can be dealt with at any time. So I would say that it's not, I never made a commitment to anyone that this is an omnibus bill. That would be duplicitous. When it was brought up at the recent meeting that there's a vehicle bill, we had this discussion and we're clear. So I understand it's hard to comprehend But it is possible to pass a bill on one subject. And it's a habit we need to get back into at the legislature. So that is what we should move forward with. It is incredibly important that we get modernization passed. And these bills, which are sitting in many other, with sitting on the General Register in Ways and Means, can still be acted on there. If the Senate shows up with a giant omnibus bill, we can have a discussion there in conference. But the Senate should understand modernization is what absolutely needs to be done this year. It is actually in a place where we have large agreement between the parties. There's a lot of partisan priorities that could be put and hassled over. But modernization is what people expect this committee to do, has bipartisan support, and it was our understanding that that was what we were taking up at the end of session. So I would encourage you, if one of your bills are in the General Register and children are down in Ways and Means, to advocate for your bill, to move it to the floor and pass it. And if the Senate moves on that bill, we can have that discussion when we make it to conference. But we need to keep our focus on modernization because it is paramount that we do this. And I think there's work that needs to be done on it, but largely we have bipartisan support that it should be done.
Thank you, Chair West. I guess my follow-up question to you would be, would you and your caucus provide the votes to pass the bills that are laid over as single subject bills? And we could do that work yet today so that these bills still have an opportunity to continue and to not die.
I was waiting for you to recognize me. That I don't have the ability to commit, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think that's a discussion that can certainly be had, and I'm not saying that in the typical of I want to murder this later.
Okay. Representative Altendorf.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I apologize.
I'm so sorry. Can I have a follow-up, please, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair.
A brief follow-up.
And then we'll come to I want a roll call on this amendment, please, first of all. Second of all, I think that what I hear Chair West saying is that we should move 4382. I hear you. I agree that it's like a single issue thing. That's super important. I've dual tracked. I'm going to wait till he's available. I've dual tracked a number of my bills this year, so I understand the importance of moving things through that process. So I think what I hear you saying is that you want to see 4382 move as a standalone bill, which we could do that today. Chair Katizawatu and I would imagine would be open to that. I think our side would be as well. So I would like to continue that conversation. And in terms of moving each of these bills that have been laid over in our committee, I would, again, like Chair Katizawatu said, support moving those to Ways or Floor, whichever one it was. But whether it's moving that bill from here to Ways or from Ways to the floor, I would ask Co-Chair West if we can count on your vote to do that if we were to move all these bills individually.
Chair West? Sure. We are going to take a brief recess. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Proposal.
Okay.
We declare Coulter's bill as the budget. We go through all the amendments, like calling out we have to vote. So we go over all the amendments we have in here. And then Coulter's bill passes that. Then the vehicle bill. Coulter's bill, the budget bill, and we will put up the
mean, that one does have the significant costs, whereas the other bills are cost neutral. So, I mean, in that way, that makes sense. And also, that is the priority for our caucus.
Well, I mean, right. And I, that I understand. Like, we're willing to include it. I just think, you know, we bring it into one bill. Given third deadline, we have, you know, one major finance bill, and these are the ones that have small costs, or like the Ways and Means can decide what it is. I did hear that the Senate did not include Torkelson's bill in their bill. Their lobbyists emailed me and said, can you reach out? And yeah.
Didn't they move on?
Because like, we don't have any, like, even if we pass these ones off the floor, we don't know that they are going to take them and pass off the floor. And so if we take them into progress and like, make a case for them in a better way.
If they pass off the floor, they are eligible for conference. And whether they're in it or not.
Right.
It seems like there's no.
Well, I mean, we can go forward and
proceed.
Hold on,
go from there.
Okay.
I'm going to call the committee back to order. Thanks, everyone, for your patience with our brief recess. Representative Altendorf. Okay. All right. We'll take you. Representative Coulter?
I was going to make points that I think have already been made. The other question I had was based on the discussion on larger packages or omnibus bills. I believe the plan was to merge the language from this bill into another bill in the Ways and Means Committee. So it seems like we can't really avoid that kind of either way. So thank you.
Right. That is a good point. Because the Senate does not have a Children and Families Committee, our committee's bill matches up with Health and Human Services in Ways and then is matched up with the Senate Health and Human Services bill. Thanks for reminding us of that, Representative Coulter. I think the plan is, Representative Altendorf.
Sorry, thank you, Madam Chair. So my question was, you know, I just heard from the members, they said, you know, was this all for naught? And, you know, absolutely not. I think from the beginning, at least what I heard was from our leadership that we were going to try to pass things single subject. And that's what our leadership had said that they also conveyed to Leader Stevenson. And so, Madam Chair, my question to you, was that message not given, you know, to you as a chair of this committee? Because to me, that seems like good governance. That seems like what we should be doing is passing bills singly.
Thank you for that question. No, I was told that we would have the opportunity to pass a minibus off to Ways and Means and things would continue on that path. Given that the committees were not given a target direction, everything in Ways and Means, leadership would be able to kind of take a look at things there and tell us this can be in, this can be out. But the idea was to pass a package and then continue on that way. Representative Altendorf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I know, I mean, change is hard, right? You know, this is what we've done. The federal level, they do these big omnibus bills. We've been doing it at the state level. But really, this is, I would say, very good governance, and I hope we move in this direction. And we can do it. You know, we can move these single subject bills, I believe, and in good faith, get some work done for the people of Minnesota.
All right. Any further discussion to the A4? Vice Chair Hansen?
Thank you, Chair. I guess we kind of recessed in the midst of my questions. Do we have a plan? I just wanted to follow up and understand, there's a couple bills that have been laid over in this committee that would otherwise just kind of die here. So it is up to us to decide on some of the bills, what's happening. Obviously, others have moved on through the procedures, but I think, at least for what our responsibilities are, I guess I'm just trying to figure out what's the plan. And frankly, I follow the lead of my chairs, both of you, and I feel a little confused right now. And so I would, I feel like Chair Katizo Watun's been pretty clear about what the plan is right now, but I hear Co-Chair West saying something else. And so I just, for the sake of leadership, would like to kind of understand what's the plan. We're in a tied house. We have a shared power sharing agreement. We are expected to work together based on what Minnesotans have asked us to do. And they deserve that. I mean, they pay taxes for us to all be here. Like, we're all paid with their money. All this happens because of what they pay for. And I think the least we can do is be clear about what the plan is. And if I understand people want to move single subjects, that's great. It's such an aspirational goal. It's cute, honestly. I think it would be great if we could do that. But the reality is that we don't have the time. None of us, would we rather spend 15, 16 hours on the floor every day or be with our families? I mean, we all have places that, kids to take care of and things to do too. Those are really long days. We could have been passing stuff all along. And also I think the other trend I'm hearing is there's things that have to keep moving through the process. And, I just, sometimes we get commitments that people will vote for a bill because we need to have, both of our teams on the same page, and then sometimes those commitments fall through. That's probably the best way I can say that. And so that really kind of throws a wrench into things, and there's been some lack of communication about that too. So I'm just hoping if we can maybe kind of clear the air, be really clear, what's our plan? Are we going to keep, these bills all kind of just out in the on the wind, or can we actually get some fruit out of what we've planted this year? Thanks.
Got Representative Altendorf, and then
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be brief. But, we just passed 8 bills off the House floor on Monday, and we really just actually showed how efficient we can be. And the reason why is when we do our work in the committees, we're already passing bills out of the committee that have that one vote. And so I absolutely believe in us that we can be very efficient, get these bills to the floor and pass them off, because we've already proven that. That's not me talking. That's what's actually happening, is the bills that are leaving the committee already have support. And so thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your time.
Representative Hicks, closing thoughts on the A4.
Yeah, thank you. So I want to be really clear. There are 2 bills in the A4 that were laid over. Both of them are for foster youth. So we are choosing to kill the bill that makes sure that little kids in foster care have continuity of education, and that kids exiting foster care have continuity in extended foster care. So sounds like decisions have been made and people are gonna, it's fine. I understand kind of how we got here. I do want to apologize to our foster youth. I want to apologize to them that the 2 bills that are just not doing anything are both bills for foster youth. So I want to be transparent in that I am committed to continuing to try to get you your rights. I hear you when you say these are holes in the foster care system from our lived experience. Please fix them. I tried. I'll try again. And I'm really sorry.
Thank you, Representative Hicks. I would ask our House Research, Ms. Zunderman, if you could just give us a little bit of a highlight, given the fact that we are in deadline week, and why it is so critical to pass this minibus together versus trying to move things piecemeal at this point in the session.
Madam Chair and members, third deadline is for the committees to pass major appropriation and finance bills, and any bills passed after the deadline, after that are not major finance bills that are passed after first and second deadline, would be diverted to rules for further action.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Vice Chair Hansen.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And to that point, I think, throughout this session, I don't think that I heard this message that we're not going to do this bill, like a bill like this. I've been here 6 years. I mean, people have been here longer than me and did them before me, and I'm sure these kinds of bills will happen after me too, but I guess, you know, going forward, I would expect that if that is going to be a decision made at the end like this, like while those bills are being presented, that somebody who's asking to lay something over that has bipartisan support, that they be informed of that. So I think that was just maybe a little bit misleading for the folks who came here to present those bills and made that motion, you know, in the beginning, if that was the kind of the plan. Maybe this was a last minute plan, maybe that was there, but I think, again, like there's been a breakdown in communication. And so at some point, I do think Representative Hicks, Representative Pinto, the foster youth who came here probably did deserve a conversation about like, hey, we're actually not gonna do this. And full disclosure, you know, might want to take a different path because of this. So it's unfortunate. Thanks.
All right. We're going to go ahead with the vote on the A4 amendment to the DE amendment. And the clerk will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Co-chair West.
No.
Vice Chair Hansen.
Aye.
Vice Chair Nelson. No. Representative Altendorf.
No.
Representative Coulter.
Aye.
Representative Hicks. Representative Lee.
Yes.
Representative Olson. Representative Perez Vega.
That is Vega, yes.
Representative Sensor Mira.
Aye.
Representative Zalesnikar. Oh, sorry. Representative Nadeau. Representative McDonald.
Thank you. Okay. There being seven ayes and five nays, the motion does not pass and the amendment is not adopted. All right. Next, we have the A5 amendment to the amendment from Representative Perez Vega. It is the A5 amendment. Representative Perez Vega, would you briefly tell us what this amendment does?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The A5 amendment inserts into the House File 4432, which creates an exemption to the child care assistance program's absent days limit, allowing a child care provider to apply for an exemption determined by DCYF. The current state prohibits licensed child providers and licensed exempt centers from being reimbursed under CCAP for more than 25 full days absent per child, excluding holidays in a calendar year, and for more than 10 consecutive full absent days. We had a hearing on this bill particularly, and kind of felt a little bit uncertain of how we were going to move forward because I accepted two amendments, and I'm looking forward to pushing this amendment forward. Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Representative Perez Vega. Is there any discussion on the A5 amendment? Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to request a roll call.
There will be a roll call. Any further discussion? Chair West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the same reason of the previous, we want to keep this focused on modernization, so I'd urge members to vote no.
Vice Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to make my same comment then, too. If we wanted to focus on modernization, we should move House File 4382, and that's that. Thanks.
All right. Any further discussion to the A5 amendment to the amendment? Representative Perez Vega, final thoughts.
Madam Chair, just thankful to have Representative Nadeau's support on this bill as a co-author and learned how to work on bipartisanship in this committee. So, gracias.
Thank you. There's no further discussion. Representative Perez Vega renews her motion to adopt the A5 amendment to the amendment. And the clerk will take the roll. The chair votes aye.
Co-chair West.
No.
Vice Chair Hansen.
Yes.
Vice Chair Nelson.
No.
Representative Altendorf.
No.
Representative Coulter.
Aye.
Representative Hicks.
Aye.
Representative Lee.
Yes.
Representative Olson. No. Representative Perez Vega.
Yes.
Representative Sensor Mira.
Aye.
Representative Zalesnikar.
No.
Representative McDonald. Absent. Representative Nadeau. Absent.
All right. There being Seven ayes and five nays. The motion does not prevail, and the A5 amendment is not adopted. Next, members, we have the A6 amendment to the amendment. Representative Perez Vega, would you like to briefly tell us about the A6 amendment?
Yes, I'd like to move forward with an urgent vote. Green, yes, on the A6 amendment, which inserts HF 45 appropriating $1 million in fiscal year 27 for the SNAP outreach program. We are in need. I've spoken to our associations of Minnesota counties who have been delayed in being able to have capacity with the federal cuts. And this is an opportunity for the state of Minnesota to push forward for the outreach program so that we can get food to all Minnesotans across the state. I'd like to urge a vote yes on this. Thank you.
All right. Any discussion, members, on the A6 amendment to the amendment? Chair West?
Members, for the same reason, I would urge a no vote.
Vice Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. For the same reason, I would encourage us to move the bill that the Chair keeps saying is the priority, if that's the priority, rather than continuing to bog down this motion. Thanks.
Members, I do just want to flag that the A6 amendment would allow us to continue funding the SNAP outreach program, which helps Minnesotans apply for SNAP. So when we heard presentations from the counties throughout this session, they talked about the changes coming down from the federal government about the error rate in applications and from the administrative side as well. And it was made clear to us that applicant error, so errors due to not the fault of the counties at all, count toward that error rate. And if we want to lower our error rate, making sure that people who are applying for SNAP have the assistance that they need is, I think, a really good way to go about that. So I would urge a green vote on the A6. Representative Coulter.
Just want to request a roll call.
There will be a roll call. Representative Perez Vega, final thoughts?
Yeah, Madam Chair, you laid it out pretty foundationally. Our communities are needing assistance to get to the food. And we've heard from several organizations and letters of support throughout last session and this session on how this would be impactful, and even more so with that, I don't call it the big beautiful, I call it the big scary bill that has been hurting our communities. So with that, I urge a green vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Perez Vega. Representative Perez Vega renews her motion to adopt the A6 amendment, and the clerk will take the roll. The chair votes aye.
Co-chair West?
No.
Vice Chair Hansen?
Yes.
Vice Chair Nelson?
No.
Representative Altendorf?
No.
Representative Coulter?
Aye.
Representative Hicks? Representative Lee?
Yes.
Representative Olson? Representative Perez Vega.
Yes.
Representative Sensormira.
Aye.
Representative Zeleznikar.
There being seven ayes and five nays, the motion does not prevail, and the A6 amendment is not adopted. All right. Next, members, we have the A7 amendment to the DE amendment. Vice Chair Hansen, would you like to offer and explain the A7 amendment to the amendment?
Yes, please, Chair. The A7 amendment does something that I think we've all been talking about that's important to us. We've all said that we want to do what we can to prevent child abuse in the ways that we can this year. These are some low cost, they still have a cost, but I think they're worth the investment. So included in the A7 amendment is House File 2136 from Representative Johnson to get grants for forensic interview training. This is to make sure that children who have been through something awful have an interaction that is both productive and trauma-aware, trauma-focused, and also useful in any criminal proceedings or anything that follows. This is an evidence-based approach that is critically important, and it does require significant training to be good at it and to do it well. And so I think this is a really good approach. Folks, this will help make sure that somebody who hurts a child is held accountable.
This bill also includes House File 3750, which is from Representative Chair Torkelson. And it is, we passed this out of here on 4-7. It creates, has DCYF create that crisis nursery licensing. Again, this is something that helps prevent child abuse, make sure that we have these crisis centers available for folks who are in crisis, and make sure that the babies can get to a place that they need to be. I think that is critically important. And then lastly, it includes My House File 4714, which is the Parent Support Outreach Program, or PSOP. As a reminder, this is one of the most effective and evidence-based methodologies to prevent child abuse and to protect children in the state of Minnesota is prevention. This is actually, and also, the number one thing that this legislature has failed to do enough of, and this is one of the most effective things we could do this session with our money. So if we are going to do anything, this is where we should invest, is in prevention. It's, again, evidence-based, widely supported, and research for decades has told us that this kind of prevention very, very directly prevents child abuse and supports families before they get into the child welfare system. So I would ask for a yes vote for all of our kiddos and families who need this kind of support, and I'll leave it at that, Chair. Thanks.
All right. Members, discussion to the A7 amendment to the amendment. We have Representative Sensenmura.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair Hansen, for bringing this amendment. I just want to speak to the piece that is incorporating the bill around crisis nurseries that we heard from Chair Torkelson. I have a crisis nursery very close to my district, and I know the really good work that they do. I think when we think about the prevention piece, giving some support and breathing room to families that are in crisis, I think is incredibly important. I think when we think about how to protect families and keep them intact and keep them out of the system, I think this is a really good tool. You know, from the presentation on this bill from Chair Torkelson, it was, you know, concerning to hear kind of that our current licensing system doesn't really match the really unique work that they do. And so I think this is really important work that I would like to see move forward. You know, I would love to see more crisis nurseries across our state, but I think probably the kind of lack of licensing clarity prohibits that. So I think this is really important work to move forward, and I would urge members to support this amendment.
All right. Members, any further discussion to the A7 amendment to the amendment? Chair West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to quickly preempt the comments, House File 4382 is the bill we would have liked to send out, and that is an offer we made. But for the same reasons as before, I would urge members to focus on modernization and vote no on this amendment.
Vice Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. Well, that's unfortunate to hear, Co-Chair West. We've talked really directly about what we can do to protect kids, that that's important to this committee, that child abuse is wrong and that it needs attention and that there's something we can do about it. This is right in front of us. So I hope to change your mind. I'm going to keep trying because these programs deserve attention. My county, Scott County, is doing amazing work with their PSOP program. No investment from the state since 2013, since its origination. We have to, this is just critically important that we are doing at least something this year. I mean, we all come to this body to do work. We've all had conversations on Facebook and otherwise about how important it is to protect kids and that we invest in that. So I'm disappointed to hear that. I would really, really ask my friends on the other side of the aisle to consider protecting kids with us and making that investment. So I would like a roll call, please. Thank you.
There will be a roll call. Representative Altendorf.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. And again, members, all of these good ideas that you had bipartisan support on could have been passed out of this committee singly. So we could do a world-class demonstration here on political theater that now the other members are trying to make us, shame us, make us feel guilty, when the truth is anything that had bipartisan support could have passed out of this committee on a single subject bill. That's not difficult to understand, and the public stands with us on that. So we are to the point now where the Democrats are trying to force through an omnibus bill, which was clearly laid out from the beginning of session that we were not going to do. And that's fine, but your little clips of trying to guilt us and shame us are not going to go anywhere because we knew from the beginning we were not passing an omnibus bill.
Vice Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. Some of us, you can look at my Facebook page, Representative Altendorf. I have no clips of me. This is not about political theater. This is about children in the state of Minnesota who we all said we wanted to help protect. So spare me. I am ready and willing to move these bills as single issues. Had our chair told us that we weren't going to do this, this is a common practice that a single issue is within the jurisdiction of a committee that has been discussed many times before you got here. And I can say other members have done it too. When it was under Republican control, that happened too. Ag bills do not pass with single issues. Education bills, none of them. Over time, the history of this institution has not been to only pass single subject, one bill on one issue at a time. That hasn't been. And frankly, there's just not enough time in this body to do all of that work. So please, I'm not going to clip this, and you can hold me to that. Some of us will, though, and we see that all the time. That is not the practice over here. Some of us are here to get real work done. Some of us are here to not just seek some kind of, I don't know what it is. Honestly, I don't understand it. But do not impugn my motives. And do not act like that is not a core function of this committee's responsibility to do what we can to follow the evidence and support it. The bill's not going to move out of here, it doesn't sound like, anyway. So what's the harm in supporting it? What's the worst thing that could happen? That you stand with us on preventing child abuse and making the investments where they're needed? That's it. It's clearly the bill's not going to move. And we've heard that loud and clear, that unless it's only modernization, like, that doesn't sound like it's going anywhere. So, I mean, we have people who came and sat in front of this committee, parents, people who asked us, your leader, one of your leaders, Chair Torkelson, who sat here and asked us for his team, we hear about crisis nurseries. These are things families need. And we can either take that seriously in this committee or we can ignore it. And I never get this fired up in committee. But for kids and for protecting kids and for standing with them and making the investments that we can when we can, we should do that. This is not about social media. This is not about Facebook. This is about children who need more forensic interview training opportunities so that the people who hurt them, the people who rape children, can be held accountable when the kids are so young that they don't know how to talk about what happened. This is important. Please take it seriously. I would ask for a yes vote.
Right. Let's all take a breath. Representative Altendorf.
That's fine, Madam Chair. Thank you. And again, members, from the very beginning, we were going to do single subject. I know you're saying that you were not made aware of that. That is a breakdown in communication of your leader, Stevenson. So I'm sorry that that did not get to you, but that is what we have committed to doing this entire session. And again, any of these things could have passed on single subject.
One last thing, Chair, could you use a tune, and I'll be done.
Vice Chair Hansen,
West,
briefly.
Did you at any time communicate with me? We've had a relationship for 6 years. When we talked about PSAP funding, when we talked about the, you know, importance of forensic interview, was there a breakdown in communication here, or did it just not happen at all?
Chair West?
Yeah, I did not speak to you about this particular thing.
Representative Hicks.
And I just, again, I want to be really clear. Both of my other committees are doing omnibus bills. So when, respectfully, Representative Altendorf, I believe you when you say that you believed that this was always the plan. But that has not been communicated to me in any of my committees, and both of my other committees literally are passing omnibus bills out. And so there's Chair West just shared that he did not have this conversation with Representative Hansen. He also didn't have it with me. No one told me that when I laid over a bill, it was dying, that we would not be having an omnibus bill. And so I can completely respect the decision of single subject. I actually am very supportive of that. I agree in single subject. I'm not opposed to single subject. I would have just liked someone to tell me, because, I mean, all of us, of course. Sorry, Representative Hansen. But here's my concern, is that there is not a child welfare package coming out of this committee. And I don't care if somebody clips it and puts it on social media. I don't care if somebody feels whatever they're feeling. What I care about is that kids in child welfare, kids in foster care, kids who are experiencing abuse are getting no policy changes based on what DCYF has said, based on what fosters have said, based on what we've heard from experts from both sides of the aisle, authors from both sides of the aisle. I don't care. I don't care. I just care that there's not a child welfare bill that's going to make child welfare better. That's all I care about. And I just wish somebody would have said, hey, Kim, we're not actually going to do that because we've decided as on art, like, that we're just not. And then I would have picked a different way to do it. That's all I care about. And I'm sorry that that wasn't communicated, but I don't think a breakdown in communication should punish foster kids and kids of abuse. And I stand by that.
All right. Any further discussion on the A7 amendment to the amendment? Oh, okay. All right. And was there a roll call on this one? Yes, okay. All right. Representative Hansen renews her motion to adopt the A7 amendment to the amendment. The clerk will take the roll. The chair votes aye.
Co-chair West.
No.
Vice Chair Hansen.
Yes.
Vice Chair Nelson.
No.
Representative Altendorf.
No.
Representative Coulter.
Aye.
Representative Hicks.
Aye.
Representative Lee.
Yes.
Representative Nadeau.
No.
Representative Olson.
No.
Representative Perez Vega.
Yes.
Representative Sensormera.
Aye.
Representative Zalesnikar.
Okay. Thank you. There being 7 ayes and 5 nays, the amendment, the motion does not prevail and the A7 amendment is not adopted. Right. Next, we have another amendment to the DE2 amendment. It is labeled the A10. Members, for you, it is in our packets as the A5 to House File 4382, which we saved from yesterday given the amount of paper that we had prepared. Representative Coulter will offer the A10. Can you briefly? Sorry. Oh.
Yes, I will move the A10 okay. Amendment. I am going to sort through my massive pile of paper while hoping that Ms. Valonide can walk through it. It is it's some changes to regulation modernization based on feedback from family child care providers. Yes,
that's it. Doesn't it? Thanks. All right. The A5 to House File 4382, oh, yeah. Representative Nadeau. And for on to the 2929 is A10, which is how it looks online for those following along. Is there any discussion on the A10 amendment? Co-Chair West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I heartily support this amendment. In fact, I thought I was going to offer it, but it does some important language change around mechanical restraints, which really didn't accomplish anything positive, and this gives a lot of leeway so that things like restraining a child in a way that we would be upsetting to see rather than just placing them in a swing would be considered. It also has important changes to sunscreen not being treated like a hazardous substance, so like any other medication anyways, and then as a fix to overnight care, which also needed to be done to allow one person to remain awake, but not necessarily every single person there because it might not be needed. And it has a couple other provisions that allow just a little ease of the administrative burden on providers. And I would urge members to support the A10.
All right. Members, further discussion to the A10 amendment to the amendment? Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one thing, since Chair West reminded me of this, the overnight care piece is still a little bit a work in progress. This language is, I think, better than what was in the original bill, but we're still finagling as we do.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, Representative Coulter renews his motion to adopt the A10 amendment. Those in favor of that motion signify, please, by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails and the A10 amendment is adopted. Now, Representative Coulter, are you also offering the A13 amendment to the amendment?
I sure am, Madam Chair.
And all right, take it away.
Those of you playing the home game, that was the A8 amendment from yesterday.
Yep. Can you just give us an overview of the amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This was something that we heard from a few testifiers about, make some changes really more specific to how nature-based programs operate. I'm happy to take questions, or if anyone has questions for nonpartisan folks, but that's the long and the short of it.
Okay. Any discussion to the A13 amendment? Co-Chair West.
It is a very good amendment in the interest of time. Just vote yes.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, Representative Coulter renews his motion to adopt the A13 amendment. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Excuse me. Any opposed? The motion does prevail and the A13 amendment is adopted. Now we have the A14 amendment, also offered by Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is, I think, the one we've all been waiting for. This is really, truly a technical amendment that switches up the term commissioner and the term department at various places to align with statute, to be clear when it is agency staff and when it is the commissioner or their designee that is handling this work. So it is strictly technical in that way.
All right. Any discussion to the A14 amendment to the amendment, members? Chair West gives a thumbs up. Seeing no further discussion, Representative Coulter renews his motion to adopt the A14 amendment to the amendment. Those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A14 amendment to the amendment is adopted. All right. Now we have the A9 amendment from Representative Perez Vega. Let's see. It is labeled A9, but members, it would be in your packet as the A9 to House File 4382. The A4 to 4382. Representative Perez Vega, can you briefly tell us what the amendment does?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This would specify that the department may approve up to 6 licenses at the same location or under one contiguous roof rather than 4. And so it would just basically delete the 4 line and enter 6.
All right. Any discussion? Chair West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is also a very good amendment, and I would urge members to support it.
All right, any further discussion to the A9 amendment, the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A9 amendment is adopted. All right, next we have the A8 amendment from Representative Nadeau. Members, in your packets, it will be the A3 to House File 4382. Representative Nadeau, if you'd like to give us an overview of the A8.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And just to confirm, and I'm sorry I'm late, and for those of you that don't know, on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock, I have an HCMC meeting, so that's why I'm late, and I apologize. So just to make sure, this is the Minnesota Board of Early Care and Education amendment, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. That's correct.
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. So this is something that that I started working on with some providers a while ago. And ultimately, you know, I've constantly had a focus with licensure modernization that licensure focus on health and safety. And then we somehow move over to accreditation. We keep academic excellence. We keep educational components, you know, kind of on a different thing so that when surveyors come out and they're looking at sites, they really are focused on health and safety issues. And so what this amendment does, it creates the department, it creates a board, Early Care and Education Program Board. There's 15 people that are put on it. There's pediatricians, there's faculty members, individuals who are license holders from family group, there's individuals from child care centers, and it creates the quality recognition pathway, which is, which is mentioned later on in the bill, but it really puts the agencies, their rulemaking, providers, teachers in the same room so that as changes are needed, and in my opinion, it makes the process a little bit more flexible because this is a body that can then bring things to the legislature, they can bring things to the agencies to try to ensure that number one, our kids are remaining safe and secure in the facilities that they're in. And it puts everybody a little in the same, kind of in the same group to bring changes forward. So that's what the bill does. The only thing, and I don't know if somebody's going to ask me about this, it's something that I've been questioning, is there's an appeal process. There's kind of the authority of the board and reports and what trumps what. And, you know, I'm willing to continue to look at something like that, but I think it's a good step in the right direction. Does it need more work moving forward? Probably. But I think this is a really good move in a positive direction. And with that, I would appreciate a vote yes on this amendment.
Right. Any discussion to the A8 amendment? Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm a little confused. Does this count as something that's part of regulation modernization or not? And who gets to determine that? Because I was going to offer this amendment yesterday to my bill, and the subject of this bill is a bill for an act relating to child care and early education, establishing the Minnesota Board of Early Care and Education, and it is obviously something I support. The subject of House File 4382 is a bill for an act relating to children, modernizing and encoding rules governing licensed child care centers and licensed family child care, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're saying those are the same subject, but the other things that we've brought forward amendments are not. It feels like we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here. So I would like to make sure that whoever determines what amendments are okay and what amendments are not can give us some wisdom here.
Chair West.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Coulter. This has been a part of our modernization discussion from the very beginning of this year anyways. We've done presentations on these things right next to each other. And part of the whole impetus of modernization was actually getting input from providers. They did not feel, as hard as we try as legislators, providers don't really think we get it. And I think every provider would agree. This gives them an avenue to formally have an input on the process, which is incredibly important and very much lacking. And it has been a part of very closely tied to modernization this whole time. And we were happy to include Representative Perez Vega A9 because that is also basically what we're doing here, which is child care regulations. So I urge your members to support the amendment.
Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, again, as the House author of regulation modernization, it's news to me that this was always the plan. That has not, again, like so many other things apparently, has not been communicated to me at any point. I don't know. I mean, I support the bill. I support the amendment. But it kind of feels like we're playing Calvin ball here. Like we're making up the rules as we go. And I don't know. Folks can vote how they want.
Any further discussion to the A8 amendment? Representative Nadeau, closing thoughts.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I want to apologize to Representative Coulter if I've somehow overstepped or done something that I didn't mean to.
All right.
And I still think it would, and hopefully we can pass it and hopefully work out any issues moving forward. And thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Okay. Seeing no further discussion, Representative Nadeau renews his motion to adopt the A8 amendment. Those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion does prevail and the A8 amendment is adopted. Next, we have the A12 amendment from Chair West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll move the A12 amendment to the DE, which is, which one is that?
It's the A7 in our member packets.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A7, well, I just needed the number. The A7 amendment in your packets. So we have taken a lot of input throughout this. The department did a decent job collecting input. We have had continual input, and these are changes suggested by MCCA that I think all really make sense. They add important fixes to the mechanical restraints, furniture repair, clarify when you're supposed to have these ICCPP plans and for temporary injuries, so you don't need to go through all the extra paperwork for something that's not an ongoing issue. And it eliminates unnecessary emergency information that people know how to call 911 in their fire department, and we clarify the unnecessary stuff that doesn't need to be in there. So this is a very good amendment that improves modernization and would urge members' support.
Is there any discussion on the A12 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, Representative West renews his motion to adopt the A12. Those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A12 amendment is adopted. Right. Next, we have the A11 amendment from Representative Zalesnikar. She is not here at this moment. Chair West will offer the A11 amendment in member packets. It is the A6 to House File 4382.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A11 amendment had some improvements for the family child care system. Checking on infants while they're sleeping when you have electronic monitoring reduces the need to review training and allows for educational animal presentations, which is something that is commonly done and we want to make sure continues. And it simplifies meal requirements that we also did in other areas of modernization that I think we should do here. So I'd urge members to support the A11 amendment.
All right, any discussion to the A11 amendment? Seeing none, Representative West renews his motion to adopt the A11 amendment. Those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A11 amendment is adopted. Okay, the next amendment that we have is the A16. Who is offering the A16 amendment? Chair West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A16 amendment deletes all the family care provisions in modernization. I'm sure you've all gotten many emails taking issue with various parts of it. We've actually addressed quite a few of those issues within the licensing system, within these amendments that have been brought up and accepted, thankfully. There are still going to be outstanding issues we need to continue working on. So this amendment is more in the realm of we have to continue taking input from these providers because many would prefer family care to be removed from this because it adds some additional burden on them, and we need to be aware of that. So I will withdraw the A16 amendment, but I just wanted to have it up there for discussion.
All right, Chair West withdraws the A16 amendment. The next amendment is numbered A17, Who would like to offer the A17 amendment? Chair West?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A17 amendment is an additional exemption for family child care providers. So right now, I believe it's 11 years old where a child, their own child, does not count against their ratios. This lowers that to 9 because a child of that age is, well, actually, I guess I don't have personal experience on that yet, but they do have a lot less needs than...
They're still trouble, Chair West. They're still trouble.
Yeah, I'm sure they're so easy. They do have less needs, and when it's your own child, don't have near the impact as taking up a whole child care slot. And with the massive loss of family child care providers we've seen the last few years, it's been a complete annihilation of the industry. We need to help them stay afloat, and I think this is a common sense improvement that can help some of them. Some of them would like this to even be more aggressive, but I think this is a nice middle ground to help out their family child care providers without compromising safety. So I'd urge members to support.
All right, members, discussion to the A17 amendment, to the amendment. Representative Coulter.
Wait, I'm sorry, this is the A17, not the A18?
This is the A17.
Okay, I apologize. I misheard.
All right, not a problem. Members, any discussion to the A17 amendment? Right. I'm going to recommend a no vote to my members. Any further discussion to the A17? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion does not prevail, and the A17 amendment is not adopted. Next, we have the A18 amendment to the DE2 amendment. Representative West.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A18 amendment makes some very important changes. We actually didn't intend for this amendment to be bundled up in the way it is, but it is. So just to go quickly through them, it increases the ratio for the C3 family care license to, again, the same as the last amendment, to give them more flexibility and make their businesses more viable without affecting infant and toddler ratios. It also makes it clear. Now, the department, I believe, has said maybe this isn't even needed, but just to be clear, it allows them to provide parenting for their own children. They still count against the ratios and all that, but allows them to be exempt from behavior guidance and some of these other things to where... Yes, they are counting in your ratio, but they are your own child, and you have the right to parent your own child. It prohibits centers from denying children sleep at the request of the parents. As a parent, I can't imagine asking a center to do that, and that has been a request of MCCA that I think we should do. And right now, there is a 30-minute window where you can have a child lay in their cot. This extends that 30 minutes, and if you can give them a quiet activity to do so that they're less likely to disturb other children who are napping. It clarifies that social media is part of the promotional materials in the new consent guidelines. And right now, if you take public funding as a center, you have to have 5 years of attendance, but if you don't take public funding, you don't. And for family care, they have to keep 5 years of attendance regardless of whether they take public funding, which really doesn't make any sense. I think that should be aligned to where if you take public funding, you need the attendance, but otherwise 5 years is excessive. And lastly, it prorates the training requirements for PFML employees. So if an employee is out for an entire quarter, that the training hours needed will be prorated to accommodate for that time off. So I would love to hear member discussion on these issues. If there are parts of this that you'd be willing to accept, that'd be good to know in the future. Or if you'd like it all, let's just adopt it now. Thank you, Manager.
Members, any discussion to the A18 amendment to the amendment? Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think there are bits and pieces here or there that I think could use some tweaking, but I think there are some important things moving forward in this amendment. I think it's okay to vote for, and I certainly plan to. I think, like I said, as is the case with almost literally everything else in the regulation modernization, there's some things that still need to be adjusted here and there, but I think on the whole, it does some good stuff.
All right. Members, any further discussion to the A18 amendment to the DE2 amendment? Seeing none, those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails and the A18 amendment is adopted. All right. Finally, members, the next amendment is to the DE2 is labeled the A15. I'm going to offer the A15 today. I can only imagine what we will hear from my co-chair, given that this was supposed to be a minibus bill to support all of our Minnesotans. After our discussion yesterday and subsequent voting down of Representative Gilman's MAFPA proposal, this is our last chance to support our counties and get them some funding to help with the implementation of the African American Family Preservation and Disproportionality Act. So we had a very long discussion about the bill yesterday. We had a very long discussion about Representative Agbaje's bill originally earlier this year. If there is any further discussion to the A15 amendment that will support our counties with finances as well as shifting some of the case review to our state department as opposed to falling entirely on the counties themselves when we reach the go date for MAFPA. Representative Sensenmura.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to, I know we all get so many emails, so I just wanted to call the committee's attention to an email that we all got today. I know that as part of our robust discussion yesterday about Representative Gilman's bill, you know, one of the things that came up was kind of where do our 87 counties stand on this. So we did get a letter today, you know, representing the counties and just, you know, wanna, you know, emphasize that they are asking for resources. Representative Abaje's bill will give them additional resources to support. Otherwise, we do not have legislation that gives them any resources. Representative Gilman's approach, which was a delay, does not give counties more resources, which is what they're asking for. So just wanted to make sure that that was on the record, and that's certainly why I am encouraging a yes vote on this amendment. Our counties want to implement this. They know that it is important. I think we have bipartisan agreement that this is important work, and we are hearing loud and clear from our counties that they need support to be able to implement with fidelity. And so I really think that this is the right approach and we should be moving this forward. Thank you.
All right. Further discussion to the A15. Representative Vice Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as we discuss this, this has been, you know, it's a delicate subject and there's a lot of emotion around it and there's years and generations of things that most of us can't comprehend, and I understand, you know, the concerns around it, and the, you know, as we look at, you know, the changes that need to be made, I think the tract is to move towards active efforts, and you know, obviously right now that is the law, and that's the way our counties are going, and looking at that, and it's just been frustrating that any time that we raise a concern over what we're hearing from our counties, that we constantly get called a racist, that we get, and I don't believe that that is the case. And it's frustrating to hear that. And I don't think that there's really been a good faith effort on really discussing what the needs are of being able to move forward and be successful in this. There's technology changes that need to come up. You know, there's funding for that last year. We also need to, we look at the MAXIS system and the needs that are needed there. And all of these things are going to be so key in having a successful implementation of this program. I hear constantly from our counties that they don't have the workforce that's going to be needed to take care of this. And Representative Hansen, you're correct that, you know, all these counties already are, they have ICWA cases. But when we expand this to all of them, it does take additional workload because they are working under ICWA. And that only applies to Indian children right now. And as we expand that, it is going to take more workload. It is going to take more resources. So we do need more resources. We do need some of these fixes for the counties. And we do need to have some more work from the, you know, the state be able to take some of these loads. And I just, I don't think this is at the point where we can support it right now, and I would encourage a no vote on it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion to the A15? Representative Perez Vega.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I've worked really hard with Representative Abaje in my first term on this, and with our counties, with Commissioner Rena Moran, who carried this, and former Representative Ruth Richardson, amazing black women, mothers. And I spoke with tribal leadership as well on from the National Congress of American Indians, who were supportive, who sent their support, and were vocal about how we are responsible for all children. And I want to, I said this yesterday in committee, we can't delay the resources to save and nurture our children. And that is the responsibility. And that's what this does. This isn't a competition of who needs more accessibility to nurturing, whether it is the indigenous children in this state or black and black indigenous children, so to say, because that's what I have in my family when we talk about who is lacking of the resources and how effective we can be in producing opportunities that are proportionate. We're not saying one kid gets it and sorry, you're gonna have to come back because, well, we're dealing with, you know, the indigenous community first, or, you know, these are the works of our committee to do multicultural collaborative efforts in policy. And so I appreciate your comments, Representative Santamura, and I appreciate also the commentary and the conversation from members of our side of the aisle speaking up on how important this is to support Representative Bajes, and to also recognize that black children didn't ask for the history that happened 500 years ago. It wasn't a question to say, do you want to come to this new land that people are settling in this indigenous land that was taken away, that there's been genocide here, all right? Massive lynchings here in the state of Native Americans, of Dakota warriors. There is solutions to modify humanity and grace. And so Representative Nelson, you know, when you say we have so much issues happening with ICWA, we got to get it all right. But putting a stop on this to delay it more, that's not right for me. So I urge to continue to support Representative Bajay's language, the language of what she uplifts her ancestors on her shoulders, of our beautiful black elders who have came and give testimony, and of members who are once of this body that are now leading in the county to say, this is the language that's where we need to continue to modify it, but not delay it anymore. That's it.
Thank you, Representative. Members, I completely lost track of time, and we need to wrap up today. So I will renew my motion that that the House, the A15 amendment be adopted. And those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail, and the A15 amendment is not adopted. All right. We are going to go ahead and vote on the DE2 amendment as amended. Members, this is not the final vote on the bill, though we're going to move quickly. All those in favor of adopting the DE2 amendment as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. The motion prevails and the DE2 amendment is, as amended is adopted. Members, House File 2929, as amended, is before us. We don't have a lot of time for closing comments. Representative Coulter.
I'm going to request a roll call, ma'am.
Right. There will be a roll call. Chair West, do you have closing comments?
Yeah. I'll be brief. I generally am. But this has been the bill I've been waiting for in this committee from the first day of this session when we knew we had the final proposal and just needed to get drafted. And there is so little that Republicans and Democrats agree on, but the child care system in our state is a complete and utter disaster. We are talking $20,000 a year for an infant to go to a center, and that's the average, $20,000 a year. People can't afford to be here. We're losing the 18 to 24 demographic more than any other demographic in Minnesota. People are leaving, starting their families elsewhere. I have two kids in daycare, in a child care center, and it costs me now, it just went down to $435 a week. It is ridiculous to have that much per kid. So my hope is that we can move this forward and get it through the process because this is something that can't wait. However, on our family child care side, there are still outstanding issues. I'm appreciative to Representative Coulter and those on the other side for working with us to adopt some of these amendments to improve it. And we agree there's more work to be done, and I think we can do more work, whether it's on the board or whether it's with family care providers. But it, like, the situation of being $20,000 for an infant is an unacceptable situation. Wisconsin right next door is 30% cheaper. Right next door, over $6,500 you save just by going to Wisconsin. Now, I wouldn't pay that price, but still, it is horrible that we have our families in that situation. So I'd urge members to support this massive leap forward, even though there is more work to do, but I look forward to getting it done.
Right. I am really disappointed that a lot of the good work that we did in a bipartisan fashion this session was rejected today. And I will just reiterate again that this committee is not the Minnesota Child Care Committee. It is the Children and Families Committee. And for us to ignore the work that our members have done in child protection and child welfare, to prioritize modernization as though that's the only thing that is important and the only thing that needs to happen this year is just wrong. I think it's really unfortunate what happened here today. And I can't encourage my members to vote for this bill as it stands. So we did a lot of great work this session, and hopefully we will have the opportunity to go to conference and fight for our priorities. But the clerk will take the roll, and the chair votes no.
Co-chair West.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hansen.
No.
Vice Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Altendorf.
Yes.
Representative Coulter.
No.
Representative Hicks.
No.
Representative Lee.
No.
Representative Nadeau.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Yes.
Representative Perez Vega.
Perez Vega, no.
Representative Sensenmura.
No.
Representative Zalesnikar.
There being 7 ayes and 5 nays, the motion does not prevail, and House File 2929, as amended, is not referred to. Wait. Did I say 7 ayes and 5 nays? Oh, thank you. All right. 5 ayes and 7 nays. The motion does not prevail, and House File 2929, as amended, is not referred to the Ways and Means Committee. We'll give it again another try next year. Thank you, members. Thank you, staff. And thank you to all of you intrepid Minnesotans who are doing the hard work of raising our next generation. We are adjourned.